going to dedicate that one also to Sheena, who I believe is a raver about that song at the moment. I Don't Want to Dance from Eddie Grant, dedicated especially to Niall. Can't leave Niall, that dedication comes in from your mum.
You're not going to believe it.
You're not going to believe it. But it just shows you how childish and how ridiculous the whole thing is. We have just received a phone call from Donnybrook. I'm not going to tell you where it is in Donnybrook. It's a place with a big mast out there around Mount Road. We just had a phone call from there threatening us to go and just try it. Just sort of like, the name of God, and these are the people who are supposed to be in a responsible position on the national network. But they will grow up. But we just have a phone call. They're on there at the moment. Oh, sure, anyway, it's good fun. Yes, we're going to, I'm a little bit shocked by this. In fact, I shouldn't be shocked at all. I'm flattered. But they're probably monitoring us all, waiting to see who's going to be first to cross the line and so on. It'll be good fun, anyway. But I'm a little bit shocked at how immature they are. Anyway, listen, we'll take a commercial break. We'll see what they have to say. But are they still on there? We'll be back in just a moment.
From France has come a new watch, Herma. Herma, a watch that not only gives tremendous accuracy, but combines this with beautiful styling. Beautiful styling and accuracy, both spell out Herma. The prices are lower than you think. They start around £17, with a no-quibble guarantee with every watch. Look for Herma. You'll be well rewarded. Herma watches are available at the following stores: Arnott's Henry Street, Topaz Jewelers Dundrum, and Merrion Road.
Taking up a new sport or trading in an old set of golf clubs, then go no further than Elvrys. Elvrys have the largest and latest selection of golf clubs, tennis rackets, keep fit, and general sports equipment in Europe. So whether it's indoor or outdoor, Elvrys have it. At Suffolk Street, Carol Brew Street, George Street and Leary, and Galway. Elvrys for all sports.
Welcome back to Radio Lunch, to its lunchtime special, and I'll dedicate this to all our friends in Donnybrook. This one to take us up to our news, and this one comes from, who is it? Andy Williams. Just 3.5 minutes away from one. We're almost there. Almost with Anne Kent. What a lovely piece of music.
Almost there. We're almost there. How wonderful, wonderful our love will be. For you, for me. Where we will
fading away into the background. Going to dedicate that one to Jackie Johnson, a name that I'm no doubt you're familiar with. They're one of our very, very regular listeners. And we love courting regular listeners. If you ever feel that you want to give us a tinkle, ring us up and have a chat with us. Okay, when you ring us up, we'll be shouting at you saying we've got to play records and all sorts of things here and we're on top of our head. Well, please do give us a tinkle. We love to talk to you and hear from you. And if you want to have a little chat, you're always welcome to give us a tinkle. But Jackie is out with a guest of the old age, 27. But anyway, Jackie, we'll dedicate that last piece of music to you. And we'll remind our listeners that we're broadcasting on 4 or 6 meters medium wave. Also, that's 738 kilohertz AM and 93 megahertz FM, where the Hammer Quartz time is now 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon, Anne Kent here with Radio Leinster News at 1 o'clock. Father Dennis Fall, the Dungannon priest, said the circumstances concerning the shooting of 3 men last night by the RUC were extremely suspicious and would require careful investigation. He said no evidence was found that the car was hijacked and no guns were found in it and the occupants had not fired any shots. The RUC said their officers fired on the green Ford Escort in which the men were travelling after it attempted to knock down a police officer at a checkpoint. When the RUC opened fire, the car careered off the road and down a bank. Lech Wałęsa, leader of Poland's banned Solidarity Union, has been freed after 11 months internment. A Justice Ministry spokesman in Warsaw said at noon, the order of the Interior Ministry regarding the release of Lech Wałęsa is being carried out right now. Wałęsa's wife, Danuta, was waiting at home in Gdańsk for news of her husband's release. She said she had cancelled plans to visit the hunting lodge where her husband was being held. Mr. Yuri Andropov has been appointed General Secretary of the Soviet Communist Party in succession to Mr. Brezhnev. Mr. Andropov is 68 and is a former head of the KGB, the Soviet secret police. Meanwhile, thousands of people have been forming queues in Moscow as they wait to pay their last respects to President Brezhnev. Mr. Brezhnev will be buried on Monday in Red Square under the shadow of the Kremlin Wall. Dr. Hillary will lead the Irish delegation to Moscow for the funeral on Monday. And from the United States, President Reagan has pledged to go on working to improve relations with the Soviet Union. At the same time, he told a Washington news conference that the United States would seek peace from a basis of strength and not weakness. And still concerning the Soviet Union, authorities have demanded the immediate extradition of 3 men who hijacked a Soviet airliner to Turkey on Sunday. But a Turkish ministry spokesman said a provisional extradition agreement between Ankara and Moscow had never been ratified and would not apply in this case. Officials have said that the 3 who have requested political asylum will face charges of hijacking and assault. Over 40 bodies have now been recovered from the bomb-devastated ruins of the Israeli army headquarters in South Lebanon. Half the dead were Israeli soldiers and the other half Lebanese and Palestinian Arabs. A further 25 people were injured in the blast at the coastal town of Tyre, including 4 Israeli soldiers who were found alive in the wreckage. Most of the Arabs who were killed when the bomb went off were being held for questioning at the time. In Britain, the South West and Wales have been badly affected by torrential rain and gale-force winds, which have caused flooding and storm damage. The Devon village of Plimtree was blacked out by power failure, and in Wales there were flood warnings on several rivers. And in Southampton, a man drowned when he was washed over the side of a wrecked boat. Another man was rescued and taken to hospital. Back home again, the Society of the Irish Motor Industry is asking Ireland's 1 million motorists to make taxation on motoring an issue in the general election. The Society, which has seen new car sales fall by a third this year, is to mount a national advertising campaign calling on all motorists to tell general election candidates that car ownership should no longer be taxed as a luxury. The campaign, which begins next week, will take in major national newspapers and will seek to bring home to politicians and the public the impact of tax increases on motoring over the past 18 months. Speaking about the campaign today, the president of the society, Mr. Ned Gould, said that since June 1981, duty and tax on petrol have been increased from 79.8p per gallon to 122.4p per gallon. Over the same period, the tax and duty on a car costing £6,000 had risen from £1,872 to £2,412, an increase of £540 in 18 months. Road tax was reintroduced in September 1981 and increased by between 25% and 33% in May of this year. The Society of the Irish Motor Industry has also written to the main political parties, pointing out that 6,000 jobs have been lost in the industry since January 1980, and loss of employment is particularly severe in garage workshops, with a virtuous standstill in the recruitment of motor mechanic apprentices. The Society is currently conducting a campaign which seeks to have an effective VAT rate of 3% applied to workshop servicing, and has made a commitment to recruit within 2 months of the date of the implementation of the reduction at least 200 motor mechanic apprentices. In addition, says the Society, the change would save up to 500 jobs which would otherwise become redundant. Mr. Goo said the Society believes that the average motorist is deeply concerned about the additional financial burden which he has been asked to bear over the past 18 months. The general election gives each motorist an opportunity of making his views felt to the political parties through their local candidates and canvassers, and their campaign will be aimed at encouraging motorists to tell the politicians that enough is enough. And finally, if you have difficulty phoning NAICS today, why not try a call into outer space instead? For £1.47 per minute, you can be put through directly to the Space Shuttle Columbia, which was launched from Kennedy Space Center in Florida yesterday. Your call will be routed through NASA, and the number to dial is, well, if you're interested, 161-307-410-6272. Or if you prefer to wait until after 10 p.m. this evening, the rate goes down to £1.10 per minute. And now the weather. Cool and windy with showers or longer spells of rain. There is a gale warning of south-southwest winds veering westerly, reaching gale force on Irish coast from Malinhead to Hoathhead to Carnsore Point and on the Irish Sea. Strong gales will affect remaining waters, possibly reaching storm force for a time. Radio Leinster News and Weather together with the time at just 7 minutes past one.
Hold on a minute, I know you're all saying, what's wrong with the poor girl? Is she all right? What's gone wrong with her? Who'd want to ring the Columbia, etc.? Now, I think that's a great idea. Think of all the young people that we're concerned about who are on drugs, etc. This is a very cheap way to get spaced out, is it not? And so instead of going out, vandalizing people, getting money from them and so on, and then doing harm to themselves with drugs, etc., abusing themselves, they could easily go and dial the cell number and have a chat to get spaced out. Really, I mean, get really, really spaced out. Can you do that, seriously? You just ring up Columbia now.
Well, it was reported this morning. I don't know how true it is, Gavin.
God, I might say. I wouldn't.
You'd want to ask Frank Corr. It was he who gave him the information.
And you can just ring Columbia?
That's right, yeah.
Well, it would be easier than getting Cork, all right. And you just get, what's the number again?
There are about 13 numbers. It's 161-307-410-6272.
And who do you talk to?
You talk to NASA. And they put you through to the Space Shuttle Columbia.
The IFA?
Admittedly, you'd have to wait in queue behind about another couple of million people, but...
Ah, well, that's it, then, because I was going to ring it now. It'd be good for the old program, you know, ring them up. You know, I could see all the directors having a sweat when I'm talking to people in space, but it would be very interesting, yeah. Well, we might just give it a tinkle later on. Meanwhile, welcome back to the program. A quick rundown of what's happening. 2 o'clock today, it being Friday, means music from the movies. Joe Doherty will be along. 3 o'clock, it's Daphne Mitchell in Afternoon Affair. 5 o'clock, it's not Justin James, but Kieran Phillips. Justin, alas, a little bit ill at the moment. 7 o'clock, it's jazz music. At 9 o'clock, it's DJ Lean. 11 o'clock, it's Mike Moran. And to wish Justin James a speedy recovery, we're going to dedicate this piece of music to him. I think Justin would like this piece of music. He considers himself a star maker.
Asking myself why, if there's more on the other side.
From Kids from Fame, dedicating that to Justin James, who I believe is just more than slightly ill at the moment. Probably he's been overdoing it, as I think his doctor has told him, and he's been asked to take a rest. So I know Kieran Phillips will be at the helm of your Bumper to Bumper program for the next week or so. Well, we're going into a commercial break there. Hem of Quartz time, 13 minutes after one. We'll be back in just a moment, so please do stay with us on your lunchtime special.
Curzon One, one of the most important musical movies in over a decade. Neil Young's Rust Never Sleeps. Joined by his band, you can see and hear Neil Young perform many of his classics, including After the Gold Rush, When You Dance, and Cinnamon Girl. Don't miss one of the most original and devastating concerts ever filmed. Neil Young and Crazy Horse in Rust Never Sleeps at Curzon One.
Oh, great. Do you know where last Friday's papers are?
In the garage.
I lost that ad for the bungalow we wanted to see. Did you keep the paper?
Even better. Look at this.
What's that?
The new property newspaper. Irish Property News. Look, all together. Price, area, description, nationwide. Commercial property, farms, hotels, pubs, everything.
Irish Property News, eh? This'll make house hunting much easier anyway. Price, area, photo. Where did you get this?
At the newsagent.
Here it is. Detached bungalow. Well, good for you. Irish Property News.
Got an old slouch hat. Got my roll on the shoulder. I'm as free as a breeze, and I'll do as I please. Just a bummin' around. Got a million friends. Don't feel any older. Got nothing to lose, not even the blues. Yes, if I'm around, whenever worries start to bother me, I grab my coat, fold my hat, hit the trail again. I ain't got a dime. Don't care where I'm going. Well, I'm as free as a breeze, and I'll do as I please. Yes, if I'm around. Whenever worries start to bother me. got a dime. Don't care where I'm going, 'cause I'm as free as a breeze, and I'll do as I please. Just bum around, just bumming around.
That's a piece of music from Dean Martin. Our phones are very, very busy at the moment with people not talking to us about Christmas, but talking to us about this NUJ thing. Just to make another comment that's, you know, a personal feeling of it. You know, people were just ringing me saying that we're being very diplomatic about it and so on, that we should be a little bit more annoyed. I don't think, you know, acting childishly or immaturely as some of the people have done on the other side of the fence, I think that would be a waste of time and a waste of breath. I presume we've become conditioned to it. For a few years now, I've been working in independent radio, which is a word I prefer to use. Working under these circumstances for a number of years, you get used to trying to do a good job, trying to provide a service that people obviously prefer to the other service, the alternative service. You get used to people trying to put you down at every available opportunity, and it sort of begins to run like water off a duck's back after a while. So I presume that's why I'm not totally upset, and it has always happened any time that they try to put down independent, entrepreneurial type people, and they're the type of people who are in independent way, not talking about me, but the people who run them, etc., the people who grow them, the people who come up with the original ideas, and the people who give the people what they want. Anybody who's able to do that, they're not worried about how people try to stop them and what barriers are placed before them. And when they have done this in the past, it only backlashes on them twice as seriously. We saw the Department of Post and Telegraphs a number of years ago wasting valuable time and money going around trying to stop the independent radio stations from broadcasting, and it only heightened the cause. And I think maybe this time around it's going to come again. What I would say at this point in time is maybe this might in some small way bring the politicians around doing something about the radio situation. It is my opinion now that it's dragged on for way too long. I would like to put yourself in the position of the person this side of the microphone. Often we put ourselves in your position to try and look after you and cater for you. But think that you're in this side for a moment, that you're in the radio, put it like that, and you're working away full-time, as a number of us are, and you have no security whatever. You've been doing it now for a few years. Because of the situation, whilst there are taxes paid here, etc., and so on, through the station, through our advertising company, etc., still, as regards the person this side, it's a very insecure setup, and you could be gone tomorrow. I know most people, most jobs are like that these days, but if I break a leg or something like that, and I'm out of work, well, unfortunately, then I'm in hot water, and it is most disappointing. I do sincerely hope that something should be straightened out. I only say that because I feel the politicians are really the ones to blame, and I blame them just equally as much as I would blame the people in the NUJ, the RT chapel in the newsroom, because it's the weak-kneed politicians who should have done something about this long ago. It is they who should have sorted it out. It is they who probably shouldn't have let independent radio get as popular as it has become. Not that I I've no disdain because it's become popular. I feel it has proved the demand now unequivocally that people want alternative local radio and a good broadcasting service that is free, that they're not going to have the money that they're losing, etc., and how they're overstaffed and so on, and how they're trying to get rid of people, and how 400 of them now have to go away to America in a special delegation next year, and these sort of things. A station that runs, provides service, and it costs nothing to you. That's what people want, etc., and so on. But the politicians should be doing something about it. They should be introducing local radio. They should be, at last, smashing the monopoly. The ideals of Sean Lamass, the 1960s semi-state bodies, when the country was flourishing and when employment was, of course, easily found and so on, those are days gone by, alas. The country now has to be able to stand on its hind legs and talk for itself. And if you're in a business that constantly is looking for handouts from the government, we do not want you. And if local radio can provide a better service and do it at no cost, you, the listeners, but only for your sheer entertainment, well, then I feel, obviously, it has to be something that has to be introduced very quickly. I am annoyed at the politicians. If the politicians had said it was their opinion and their belief that they should not use independent radio in this election, okay, fine, well done. But what is very sad, it is a sad state of affairs when politicians, the caliber of politicians that we have, when they can be dictated to from a small union, a union that numbers very small in numbers, and they can be dictated to us mainly because these people think they're in a powerful position. Isn't it sad that a small number of NUJ people can hold these politicians to ransom? It just shows you in some ways that the politicians are not running the country. They can't even make decisions for themselves. Alas, it's a very sad situation. This is Dionne Warwick, perhaps a song to suit the mood, Heartbreaker.
And I
Music from Dionne Warwick. Why did you have to be a heartbreaker? There's a query there on the phone about interviews that we've done already. People wanted to know because there was a mention for the programme last Saturday, I think in the Irish Times or something, last Friday, and they remember we'd untarnished Ray McSharry. We had Seamus Brennan and Jim Kemmy on the programme, along with who else? Charlie McCreevy. And of those interviews, etc. and so on, you know, there was comment made on them in the paper, and they were wondering would Seamus Brennan, etc. suffer as a result of. To put you in the picture, Seamus Brennan didn't know who he was talking to at the time, so I presume he's not going to suffer as a result of it, and so on. And the others are much the same. But it just goes to show you the type and caliber of politician. Charles McCreevy knew he was talking to Radio Leinster. I'd heard the ban was just being talked about then, and I said, would you give us an interview? But I said, because it strikes me as an honest and straightforward person. Some people might call him a troubleshooter, etc. and so on. But I asked the dissident Fianna Fáil member, Charles McCreevy, you know, would you do an interview for Radio Leinster? And he says, yeah, I suppose so. And I said, well, what about this ban? And he says, look, Charles McCreevy always stands up by himself, and nobody tells me what to do or dictates to me what to do, etc. He says, if you want to interview me, he says, you interview me. He says, and I guarantee you, he says, if I top the poll in Kildare, RTE will want to interview me as well. And it's always a very good comment, and it's always typical of Charles McCreevy. I mean, you know, when you see them on television and when you hear them on radio, they perform, like they're going through the motions. But this is how he acted off stage, as it were, if I could use that term. And he's still the same Charles J. McCreevy. So just in reply to a lady on the phone, I think the others didn't know, but Charles McCreevy did, and he didn't mind. Want to go into a commercial break, so we'll be back in just a little moment. It's a fairly lengthy commercial break. We'll be back with Randy Edelman in Uptown, Uptempo Woman. We'll be hearing a little bit about the anti-amendment campaign, which is happening tomorrow. That's just up and coming in a moment. 681-777, that's the number to dial for service and car rental, that's second to none. Murray's Europe Car, rent a car for car rental anywhere in Ireland or the world. Branches throughout Ireland. Remember that phone number, Murray's Europe Car, at 681-777.
Some jobs demand an expert, call the expert, call us.
Winter is coming on, high winds, storms, and the chance that your aerial may not last till spring. Prendergast Aerials are experts in the erection of TV aerials, communications aerials, and towers. Call Prendergast Aerials now on Dublin 722-747. That's Dublin 722-747. For aerials and towers, Prendergast, experts in their own field.
We've told you before about the superb value in floor coverings available at Morris Walsh Carpets Dunleary. But now we have news of something extra special. Morris Walsh and Kerr Carpets have combined to mount a special Kerr Carpets fortnight at our Dunleary showrooms so that you can see for yourself the new Shearling and Woolcomber ranges. Their colours are new and luxurious. They have a new 80% wool mix for longer life and extra durability. Avail of Morris Walsh's usual keener than city prices, which include free expert fitting and felting within a 15-mile radius by our first-class fitters. This promotion must finish on November 13th, so call in now to 77 Upper Georgia Street, Dunleary, or telephone 803-0174 or 804-545 for more details. And remember, Morris Walsh Carpets late opening every Thursday and Friday till 9 p.m.
Hammer, a watch that not only gives tremendous accuracy, but combines this with beautiful styling. Beautiful styling and accuracy both spell out Hammer. The prices are lower than you think. They start around £17 with a no-quibble guarantee with every watch. Look for Hammer. You will be well rewarded. Hammer watches are available at the following stores. Arlott Henry Street, Topaz Jewelers Dundrum, and Marion Road.
Super Mike of Bronzilla, telephone 211-286. We have a really comprehensive range of products to satisfy your needs. Hardware, plumbing, timber, garden tools, roofing, and sheeting. At Super Mike, we have super bargains. Cement blocks at £35 for £100. Also available, sills, lintels, bricks, sand, gravel, and mortar. At Super Mike, we've got insulation at £15.99 per roll. 1 and 2 inch polystyrene also available. At Super Mike, you can use our super high facilities. At Super Mike, we'll open Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. with late opening on Thursday and Friday till 9 p.m. Put your home care in our hands at Super Mike of Flauncilla. Telephone 211-286. Super Mike, for super service.
Doing your driving test shortly? Why risk failure? The Irish School of Motoring are now offering a short pre-test course with over 90% success rate. Don't miss out when you can pass your test first time. Passing first time is cheaper. The Irish School of Motoring with 10 branches to choose from. For details, ring Southside 972646 and ask for Phil. Northside, ask for Kevin at 746677. IFM, leaders in driving tuition.
Hardly said a word, and
of his music called You're an Uptown, Uptempo Woman. If you're a clock watching this Friday afternoon, everybody clock watches Friday, don't they? Waiting for the old wage pack, or looking forward to the weekend. 24 minutes before 2, that's the Hammer Quartz time. If you really want a clock watch properly, make sure to have the Hammer watch. But getting on to studio guests now, Noreen O'Donoghue, who's joining us to talk a little bit about the special anti-amendment protest tomorrow, which is happening here in Dublin City. Noreen, why is it coming tomorrow? Is it that the election is around the corner?
Well, no, it's not actually as a result of the election. The election just happened, or was called, quite recently, and this march has been planned for some time. It was planned because the issue was gathering momentum, and the fact that this election has been called in the middle of it is probably an advantage, because a lot of people will not have heard of it who happened before this, and because there is an attempt to make it an election issue, this would probably help the march.
Well, I remember when we had a debate on it some weeks back, the anti-amendment people were saying that not enough people knew about it. But I have a totally different impression, because everybody seems to be talking about it, and it seems to be pretty very much a hot potato at the moment.
Yes, you might think that. It depends on the kind of circle you move in. But according to the surveys that were conducted, these were official surveys, one was the Market Research Bureau, and they discovered that 50% of the people they asked had never heard of the amendment, didn't know what the amendment was, and that some of them said that even if they had heard of it, they weren't interested anyway, but 50% hadn't heard of it at all. So it's a case really of people who read the newspapers and people who watch various television programmes or listen to various radio programmes, but the vast majority of people are not, they don't actually understand, and the fact that they don't understand what's happening means that they haven't really heard about it. And they may have heard certain things about it, but they don't know what is going on, so that they tend to say they know nothing about it.
So you would say that half the population would see it as a total grey area for them?
What I'm saying is that according to the surveys, half the population has never even heard that an amendment was happening. We were going to have a constitutional referendum. Half the people didn't even know this was the case.
Well, what about the case as regards tomorrow now? With the election coming on, obviously it takes a totally new importance, this protest tomorrow.
It's as important now as it ever was. It's no more important because we have an election, if you know what I mean.
Well, you did say that, it's a case now that people will be able to decide about it, and more people are going to hear about it as a result of it being seemingly an issue.
More people may hear about it, but more people may hear about it in a certain way that might be grossly unfair. I mean, the way people are hearing about it as an election issue is that this country is going to have abortion clinics at every corner, and that the EEC is going to impose abortion legislation on us. This is the way it's becoming an election issue. I mean, a grossly misinformed and one-sided view of the whole thing. And this is being perpetrated by those people who are, or these certain parties or certain members of certain parties that are standing for election, who have platforms and who can abuse those platforms as they want, you know, while other people who are opposed to this amendment don't have the same platforms and haven't got the same right to publicity, you know what I mean.
Well, do you not feel that, talking about political parties, that at least you know where you stand with Fianna Fáil? They come out and said they're pro-amendment, whereas with the other political parties, they're saying one thing to one person and another to another. They're very much, undecided as regards other parties.
Fianna Fáil have definitely come out and said they're pro-amendment. Now, the reasons they're pro-amendment now could be discussed, if you wish. But Fine Gael have come out and said that they are quite happy with these words that have been prepared. So you can take it that they also are pro-amendment. The Labour Party would appear to be opposed to the amendment, but the grounds they're opposed to the amendment on are not quite so clear. So it's not actually clear where the Labour Party stands. The Workers' Party haven't issued a statement since the election was called, but their position was that they were opposed to the amendment, and the DSP are actually opposed unequivocally. There is no doubt about it. The DSP is actually opposed.
Well, is not tomorrow all in vain? Because, as you say yourself, at your own admission, Fianna Fáil, as everybody knows, are pro-amendment. In fact, Fine Gael are going along the same lines. They're a little bit
At the moment, they're hesitant about how divisive it may be and so on, but it looks like they're in the same boat as with Fianna Fáil. And with those two the main parties, it looks like that we're going to have this pro-amendment, regardless of what demonstrations you go through with.
Well, that's possibly true, but it's even more important now than before, because both major parties, one of which will form the next government, with or without support of other parties, so that it would appear to be a foregone conclusion. It would only appear to be, we don't know. They don't really know what way people will vote when it comes to the actual day, but that is still a mystery. Now, there may be surprises, just as there was a surprise in store for Fianna Fáil when they tried to get rid of the PR system of voting. But it's still very important that people like us in the campaign should show off this hypocrisy that is behind it, the dangers that are behind this amendment, the motivation behind the amendment, and just because the two major parties, both of them are right-wing parties, should support legislation like this, or an attempt to bring in legislation like this, doesn't mean that it shouldn't be opposed, and opposed strongly.
But in a democratic system, is it not the case that, you know, democracy stands? And if the two right-wing parties have support of 80% of the public, just to be a very conservative figure, that is the wish of 80% that this pro-amendment will go through?
That isn't quite true, because again, come back to these surveys that I was talking about. Now, these surveys are fairly scientific, or at least as scientific as you could get. That 50% had never heard of it. Now, of those who had heard of it and who had any interest, had read anything about it, 41% said they did not want a referendum at all. 43% said yes, they were quite prepared to go ahead. Now, that is almost a 50-50 split. Now, if that still holds, I mean, even if the two major parties are in favour of this type of hypocrisy and this type of, ridiculous position. I mean, there is no indication that the people are actually behind them.
There is
appear to be from the top down and not from the ground up.
Just interrupting for a moment. If there is this 50-50 split that you claim, according to the scientific research interest and so on, and the opinion polls so far divided so evenly, then why do you fear a referendum? It could happen that a referendum could be introduced and it could be voted out if it's a 50-50 situation.
Yes, it possibly will be voted out. I mean, it looks as if now we will be facing this amendment. We may not be, but it looks as if we will. But there are different parts to it. The reason it is in a way an abuse of power from the top, which is not democracy. There was no demand from the bulk of the people in this country to have an amendment. It was a minority group who used their various positions to force various parties into supporting this.
Every great movement starts as a minority movement, and then slowly but surely becomes a majority.
Movement is not a majority. It still is a very small movement.
It seems to be. Well, we're talking about the pro-life movement. This is not very much, a movement that has started small, but now is very widespread throughout the country with a lot of support. I think a lot of listeners to this program would say that they're very much in support of pro-life.
But there is quite a bit of support around the country for this, what these people we would call them pro-amendment people. We don't call them pro-life, because that isn't really correct. Pro-amendment people. There is also a huge body of opinion around the country which is anti-amendment. Now, you can't argue that these people should have precedence and that the others shouldn't. There is still, if you just take the letters to the papers, there are as many letters against the amendment as there are for. Now, and if you want an indication of how people feel, you can take this kind of thing. And there is no, if there was no opposition to this, there would be no campaign against the amendment. Nobody would support us, but people do support us. So it is an issue. The anti-amendment campaign is an issue. So it's unfair to say that the other people are 80%. They certainly aren't. The opinion polls, as I said, 41%, 43, which is almost a 50-50. And that's the last official one that was carried out.
You just mentioned the motivations behind it now, as I've explained here. And our listeners, we've had a debate on this already. So I don't want to get back into the grassroots of the whole thing again. But what do you consider are the motivations behind this Fianna Fáil move that I think, from looking at you, a little bit skeptical about?
just the scene of what's behind the scene of fault.
The scene of fault,
behind
yes.
the fault. Yeah, well, there are differences. I mean, the scene was not originated by scene of fault. Do you know what I mean? It's not a scene of fault.
No, no, but it's they who are. Going into this election saying that they are pro-amendment.
Yes. The first reason to be skeptical, it's very strange. This amendment has been mooted for about 18 months. And nobody could find an acceptable form of words. Nobody. It has proven too difficult. At least three attorney generals have tried and failed. 2 days before an election was called, we finally come up with a form of words and we have a bill published. Now, it's very hard to think that this was deliberate so that it could come out before the election. This election has been obvious for a couple of weeks. And the bill had to be produced just before the elections.
Well, not so obvious that the Workers' Party didn't withdraw support until this had gone in already. Not that that has anything to do with it, but like they probably were expecting to go out in January, maybe. But you know.
Yes. Well, you see, as far as we can gather, the Workers' Party had said that they couldn't possibly support these latest measures, particularly the health cuts, and they were going to vote against them whenever they came up. Now they were coming up, you know. Last week.
When you seem to criticise that, are you not very happy that this, you know, bill is now circulating, that you can read the documentation, but now we know what the proposed words and changes to the constitution are as regards this amendment and so on, and now it is an issue in this election. Is that not happy that now for the first time we know what we're talking about, for the first time we know what to discuss, and we know it's now out in the open and ready to be debated? Is that not better for both pro and anti-amendment?
Well, there are a number of answers to that. We talk about now it's out in the open, now we have a bill, now we have a form of words. We have a form of words, all right, but nobody knows what a form of words actually means. We are now as enlightened as we were before the words appeared. Nobody understands the words, nobody can explain them, there was no explanation with the bill as to what the words might mean, just for example. Nobody knows what conform means, nobody knows what equal rights for a mother means. Nobody knows what actually, you know, whether a mother is somebody who already has children, which technically speaking it would mean, not somebody who hasn't had children but who is pregnant. Nobody knows that. Nobody knows what, as far as practical means, that could mean putting everyone in jail. It could mean anything. So we are now no more enlightened than we were before the bill was produced. So to say, you know, that it's great that it's out, it makes no difference because it doesn't make sense anyway. Or nobody has yet come up and said this is the definitive. The only people who will be able to interpret that bill will be the Supreme Court. And that is the very thing that the people who pushed the amendment were most afraid of, an interpretation by the Supreme Court. And that's exactly what we have to have as a result of this.
Okay, time is getting the better of us, Noreen, so quickly then, tell us what will be happening tomorrow. I know you're meeting in Parnell Square, all right?
Well, it's a national demonstration tomorrow. Beginning in Parnell Square at 2:30, and marching through town up to the top of Grafton Street, where there will be a rally of speakers, a number of speakers from different sides of Irish life. And we want to march because we want to oppose the amendment. The words make no difference whatsoever. We want to oppose the amendment on the grounds that I've been speaking about.
Well, Noreen, then, thank you very much for dropping in to your protest and the national demonstration tomorrow. I wish you all the best. And I hope it turned out like an interrogation. I promised you it wouldn't, but it was, but I had to be the devil's advocate. So I just took it to forgive you for that. So thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Okay, thank you.
Well, back to music then, and we'll be taking a commercial break after this last time. This is Charlie Pride.
Yeah.
more than you expected, and this year won't be any cheaper. Let's face it, whether you heat with oil, gas, or electricity, prices will keep rising. So what's the answer? We at Tom Heating have found it, an advanced central heating system.
This time we're going to have a listen to Paul McCartney in the company of Michael Jackson. They're in the charts together on one disc with a song that's proving to be quite popular. The Girl Is Mine. Two lads, multi-millionaires, arguing over a woman. The things we do.
Every night she walks right in my dreams. Since I met her from the start, I'm so proud I am the only one who is touching in her heart. Mine.
you remember?
Well, after loving me, she said she couldn't love another.
That what she said?
She said it. You keep dreaming.
Girl is Mine, Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson. And we did promise that before the end of the program, we expected to have a little bit more time, we would fit in some more of the competition entries as regards the age of yours truly. And let's get along to some of the cards and some of the things that have come in. One actually that came in on the phone, Deirdre Farrell, is of the opinion that Gavin's always dressed in a suit, probably pinstripe, and always wears a collar and tie, and always wears a tie pin, and always has his hair neat and tied. And that's a lovely picture. Deirdre, I hate the shaft of the image you have of yours truly, but the only reason I can say it is my hair is actually tight and tidy at the moment. I was in Herman's yesterday in the Dundrum Shopping Centre, very nice place, and was asked to say hello. That reminds me to say hello to Audrey and Vicky. Audrey, who looked after her head, and Vicky, who kept me entertained whilst I was there. Very good afternoon to you both ladies. And so I presume you could say today that my hair is right and I am wearing a pinstripe suit, shirt, tie, so I'm not wearing a tie pin, but I am not 49 years old. I am not 49 years old. Paul Byrne of Sandy... No, sorry, I was going to say Sandyford. Sandford Road, which is in Ranelagh, is of the opinion that Gavin Duffy is a sprightly 29. Wrong again. Lou Lachey of Donnybrook wants to say that his missus, who is Anne, is of the opinion that Gavin Duffy is about 42. Mark Hayes, who drops a line to us, a postcard, where is it from? The postmark is from Dublin 3. Well, that's where it comes from, probably. It comes from Mark, and he says, we think Gavin Duffy is, after having consultations within the family, we put him at 27. Susan Crowley. I know Crowley. I do, yes. He's not a relation to you, Susan. But Susan Crowley suggests that Gavin Duffy is 28, whilst last but not least, we won't have time for any more, we'll quickly include Niall Johnson's suggestion, and Niall Johnson says Gavin Duffy is about 28. Thank you very much. All wrong, I'm afraid. Nobody wins our tenner. That's where we've got to go. Look at the time. I've got to quickly say goodbye. God bless. Thank you for being with us. Brogham, join us on Monday. Till then, goodbye. As I said, God bless. And last but not least, 31, there you be. Bye. Have yourself a good weekend. Broadcasting on 4 or 6 metres medium wave, also on FM, you're listening to Radio Leinster. Hem, of course, time now, 2 o'clock. That means we listen to Joe Doherty and his programme, Music from the Movies.
From the movies.